And we'd like to walk in the steps of the faith of that mother. Many of you, when you go to the mountains here, sometimes you see footsteps and trails, and you come to a fork, and it's important that you take the right fork, that you go the right way in order to get to the destination where you wish to arrive. Now, this just exemplifies the footsteps of Grandma, or Ma, as she was called, as she worshiped in this little church and in the farm home that she lived, where she lived. We hear of that little group of isolated people that many of you are familiar with back on this mountain, back when there were many farms, when they used to split the logs, Ma did her share of it, and then go in, and, as Nancy said, and put on a big meal. Two things are clear about those days. One is that these people believed in Jesus as the one who shows us all the meaning of life and how it should be lived in order to inherit eternal life. These people went to the Bible as their rule of life. Now, this rules out much that is popular in the world, because God speaks not as man does. And there were many doctrines that they had. I won't go over them, but Brother Madison's bulletin lists them, you know, that there is one God, Bible is the word of God, one mediator, Jesus Christ, scriptures to go with it. Jesus tasted death for every man, and he's coming again. And meanwhile, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. We are guided by the Spirit as the Word of God is illuminated to us. But the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth, and the Abrahamic covenant, and Jesus' death and resurrection is the means that God used by which we shall inherit everlasting life. Both people spoke plainly to one another. As Paul said, they spoke the truth in the Lord. And they had a concern for one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. They had an interest in each other. They looked on other people as those for whom Christ died. And they wanted the real development of these others. And in meeting the demands of Christ, one would find happiness. This concern was shown in little ways. She told one of our members when she was a young bride, "My, you can fry eggs nicely." "Well, why that?" Because she wanted to encourage this young bride. She encouraged the youth and the men and all of us that were living in those days. In other words, she had a concern, and those people had a concern for each other. But they also had a candor, or in other words, they did not hide their true selves from each other. And I'm afraid that sometimes in our modern day, when we have gone away from the mountain and each one has set up his own little home, isolated from each other, that perhaps we might have lost some of this concern, and we might have lost some of this candor or showing our true selves to each other. When we come to church in our best smiles, and yet we don't let each other know our inner selves. But these people did. The cost of their fellowship was in speaking, paid in speaking the truth in love. And sometimes there was pain in giving and receiving truth with one another. But these people had a fellowship back there, and we need that same fellowship. We lose when we fail to be honest with each other about what causes us trouble. We need to come to one another and tell our troubles and our needs and help one another to do right. If someone is a good enough friend of yours or mine to tell me or you something about ourselves which is not palatable but lovingly told, it's probably something we need because that one loves us. But of course, sometimes instead of love, we have gossip and criticism, which is not good. But criticism of each other works in two ways. It can be one who will give others help in criticizing their lives, and we call that domineering. I don't think Maul is domineering. Or it could be the other extreme. We will take criticism, but we will not give it, and those people are called doormats. Now, I think that we have someone in Maul who walked in the light and helped those that were in her mountain home and area. These mountain people felt that they had the answer to man's need in Jesus Christ and in this gospel that they believed in. They felt that she felt that this gospel was meant for all mankind, and that he was preparing a people for that kingdom to come when Jesus returned. These are common expressions that were there. And like the shadows of the mountains that cast their shadow before the event of the sun coming up, so they looked for the coming of Christ in the signs of the time. And many ministers would talk about these things. And these all-day meetings were spent talking about what God was doing. This dirty little church that was built here, that part of it that you see where you're most of you sitting, that was all the church there was originally back in 1899, 70 years ago. And when Ma and Pa would come down from their mountain home a mile or so above here and come into here, perhaps the church was called, they would build a fire. And Ma was just a little bit shrushlik about the use of kerosene. And as Paul stood by looking at her, she took the kerosene and threw it into the fire that blazed out. And he said to her one time, according to those who know, "You're going to burn this whole church down sometime. This whole church." Well, these four walls that are symbolize their witness, their outreach to the world, a witness of these people that were back there then. Each wall stands for a great truth. Conversion, for example. One wall can stand for conversion. I think these people were converted away from the way of the world. They were going the opposite way, which is the way of the Lord. And that the true gospel is revealed in the Word of God and is the standard of behavior. God has commanded, therefore let us do it. And they could see it work out in the lives of the people. They felt that before a person can convert someone else, he needed to be converted himself. And we still have those among us who say that the life of the Christian is the thing that determines whether they are converted or not. But because a Christian cannot just deliver a wrapped package like a messenger boy and say, "Here is this package of the gospel, take it." The Christian, needs to have the attitude of not just being a messenger boy, but to open the package and use it and then share it with others. Robert just handed me a note here. I'd like to read it because we are honored today to have you all with us. "It is a pleasure and indeed fitting to have with us a nephew, Donald Thompson, whom she raised in her home from infancy. After he was married, she lived with them for a while, and then he had a lovely daughter, Jane." And this is Mrs. Lewis that received the flower. "Born on Maud's birthday, February the 14th. She, too, is here with us today to share with us the memory of Maud in this service. Thank you, Robert, and thank you for introducing your guest. I know that we're happy to have you all here. And as we go back to think of her and what she meant to you, we can see again that she just didn't hand a wrapped package to you. She handed a life which was unwrapped in service. I can't go into all the details of these four walls, but I think this will hold for another time when we can have our 70th anniversary celebration here of this building. I think we can realize that these people were truly converted. That's one of the walls. Another wall was that these mountain people they believed in prayer. And so we could say that their prayer life, as they let God's power work through them, was one of the solid walls of their witness. And then we find that another wall of the church is fellowship. The fellowship of the people here was not limited to coming to the building. The fellowship was held on the mountain farm as they strived to walk in the way that the Lord had for them and shared the Bible and prayed together. They had a marvelous fellowship, constantly little groups, and I think we see the signs of this type of fellowship beginning to come again as some of our groups meet together. We have one little organization starting, a fellowship meeting starting on Thursday morning at 6:50. And I would like to see others take advantage of this opportunity. The fellowship, then, of the church was another wall. Then the fourth wall, as you go around, is the one that's been knocked out, and we've enlarged it. The fourth wall was this witnessing, and we do it now more by the preacher than we do, as they did, by all of them witnessing. I think we've reversed it somewhat. We sit back and let the preachers do the witnessing. And we can't do it that way. Let's build back this wall, this first strong wall of the church, and be individual witnesses for Christ. She knew and they knew that life hung in the balance. The lives of their children, of their husbands, of their neighbors, and of themselves. They felt an urgency to get out and tell others about the way of salvation. And, of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, our lives should speak loud. And some say that it should speak louder than the words that we say. And this wall of witnessing, we have a loud preacher sometimes who shouts at you the way we should go, and who feels very deeply about our witness. But we still need the lives of witness, the witness to the power of the Spirit of God working in us. But the lives themselves, if that's all we do, is not enough. We have people in the world who are very vocal in materialism. And if we are going to be timid about our witness in the words that we say, and say, well, I'll just depend upon the life I live to preach the gospel, the church is not going to be a very good witness. We need the word. The words of witness are needed in order for people to know that our lives are based upon Christ and His leading. The simplest of Christians can witness by word as well as by life. to what we believe about Jesus. Ma spoke of what Jesus did for her, I'm sure. And I know this because I see the children, Ada here, one of her daughters, and the faith that she has, and those of others who are here. And I have been greatly encouraged as I have seen the sacrifices you have made in carrying out this gospel. But we need not to be tongue-tied in a world of vocal materialists. I don't mean for you to get up in the pulpit and be a professional minister, but you can be a witness for Christ wherever you are, to your children and to your husband, to those around you, to your wives. Our mothers were very vocal back then, and they spoke up for Christ. And so there are four walls around which their witnesses built. They were really converted. They were people of prayer. They had that fellowship. They have that witnessing. We no longer have preaching just once in a while. We have it every Sunday. Christ is coming soon, and he has given every one of us talent. And after 70 years, you remember the parable of the one who buried his talent in the ground. I fear greatly, speaking full of candor, that we may, some of us, have fallen into the pitfall of burying our talent in the ground under the building. And Christ wants us to take that talent out in the world where it can reproduce. In Matthew 25. And so, like those people of the past generation who have reproduced, whose witness is here today, in children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. But our mother, Ma, was really vocal in her witness. Spoke up for Christ. And we can walk in the footsteps of that faith of our father, of our mother, that we see in her.